Now, as the retailer H&M unveils a new campaign, we'll be asking one of the models involved if fashion stereotypes are changing. First, though, doctors are not diagnosing and treating multiple sclerosis early enough, so says a leading MS charity. It says the wait-and-see culture among healthcare professionals when it comes to treating those with the condition is harmful, as treating the disease early can slow down the onset of disability. MS is a neurological condition which affects around 100,000 people in the UK. The disease attacks the central nervous system. Symptoms can include sight loss, balance problems and dizziness, fatigue and stiffness or spasm. Most people are diagnosed between the ages of 20 and 40, but it can affect younger and older people too. Roughly three times as many women have the condition as men. Well, with us now to discuss this, Dr. Waqar Rashid, a neurologist with a special interest in multiple sclerosis. Also Anna Field, an MS sufferer who took more than 4 years before being diagnosed. And Natasha Proctor, who was diagnosed within 2 weeks after showing pretty extreme symptoms of MS. Thank you all very much for joining us. Dr. Waqar Rashid, tell us first of all what difference a quick diagnosis makes.
I think, like with any illness, really the quicker you diagnose it, potentially the milder or less advanced that condition would be, and potentially the quicker one can start treatment. So I don't think multiple sclerosis is any different to that.
Anna, it was more than 4 years before you were diagnosed.
Yeah, that's right.
Why did it take so long?
I first experienced symptoms in about 2008. I ignored them because I didn't think that there was anything to be worried about.
What were the symptoms?
I got a tingling and numbness in my right shoulder, and at the time I put it down to a trapped nerve or just sensitive skin, and I ignored it and it went away eventually. Later on in that year I had quite an extreme symptom. The entire right side of my body from the neck down went completely numb. So I did see my GP. He, at the time, thought it was more to do with my pre-existing hypertension, and so he followed that route instead. It then took another year or so before I got optic neuritis, which is inflammation of the optic nerve in my right eye, accompanied with pain and visual disturbances. And then I was then, after seeing an optician, an optometrist and the same GP, I was subsequently referred to a rapid access clinic at the eye hospital. It's that time that they diagnosed it as optic neuritis and then automatically referred me to see a neurologist. It then took another year or so of me experiencing symptoms for then to go down the route of testing me for multiple sclerosis.
Natasha, conversely, you were diagnosed quickly. Tell us what happened with
you. Well, when I finally went to the doctors, similarly to Anna, throughout my teenage years and early 20s, I had periods of dizziness and my eyes not working as they should do. But then I had a rapid escalation of my symptoms all at the same time. And then when I went to the doctors, first of all, they thought, oh, maybe it's a trapped nerve or the fluid in your ears isn't okay. They tried to sort me out on the Monday. It got worse during the week. And on the Friday, they sent me to hospital. So the very first time, unlike Anna, that I went to hospital, they said, we're going to take you for an MRI scan. And from that first MRI, because I had such a high lesion count, they said straight away, you've got multiple sclerosis. So let's talk about how we can treat this.
Dr. Rashid, when you hear these two examples of the differing experiences that they had in getting the diagnosis, are they fairly typical? Is it a difficult thing to diagnose?
Yeah, it's absolutely typical, really. I do sympathise a lot with having to make the diagnosis, because often when I see people come to clinic, a lot of the work has been done, but it is absolutely typical. It's so variable, and I think it is really the severity of the symptoms that will often precipitate the diagnosis, I think, and it's so variable, the symptoms. So if they're generally sort of mild to moderate symptoms, sometimes people can go for a number of years without getting the diagnosis.
So how does the situation change then, because there is now this desire to move away from the wait and see approach to a quicker diagnosis, but what's the best practical way to actually achieve that?
I think, the MS Society with this work, I think it's a very important work, because I think what it crystallises is that, there are certain things one can't control in terms of getting a diagnosis, and that's, recognition, or trying to get education out to GPs and even to people in general to recognise some of the symptoms. But I think the bits that we can control in terms of once people are referred to hospital, that things should move much quicker in terms of getting a diagnosis and also being more proactive in terms of speaking to people with the condition and saying these are your options and for treating, because it's very clear, I think the evidence is very clear that I think, again, like with lots of other conditions, the earlier one starts treatment, obviously appropriately, the better the potential outcome.
Anna, was it frustrating when you were going through it? You didn't know what was wrong with you and you just kept getting told so many different things.
It was really frustrating. Yes, I did have high blood pressure and I could understand why they were going down that route. But at the same time, I knew that it wasn't the right thing that they were telling me. I knew that there was something else wrong. And it took a very long time to kind of, you know, keep talking to people and keep asking people.
When you say you knew something else was wrong, why were you so sure of that? And when did MS first come onto your radar?
Well, coincidentally, my mother-in-law also has multiple sclerosis, so I'd already had an idea of what it was.
So were you saying to the medics, it could be that? Were you thinking that?
I didn't mention it. I was always quite concerned of not putting words into their mouth. You know, I'd never thought it's a good idea to kind of like Google your symptoms and turn up with a diagnosis. But at the same time, I knew that it wasn't an in-depth discussion I was having with the GP. He was sort of looking at me, taking my blood pressure, realising it was a bit high, and then sending me home. The symptoms that I was having weren't, to me, conducive to high blood pressure. They were more extreme than that. And when an optician looked into my eye and I was in so much pain and told me I had hay fever and it was a symptom of hay fever, again, I was like, no, I'm sorry, but I'm going to seek a second opinion. And luckily I found the right people to guide me on that, on my way. Obviously having a member of my family who also suffers from it, I had conversations with her and it was like, you know, it was on my radar, basically, so I knew what to look for.
Natasha, what's it like living with MS? Is it, what's the treatment like?
For me, it's a case of I go to hospital one day a month for an infusion. Cause by the time I got diagnosed, my symptoms, as Dr. Reshi says, were very, very severe. I couldn't walk or see. So it was a case of we need to act quickly. I just turned 24.
Gosh.
So quite young. So it was a case of not waiting to see what happens. By the time I got diagnosed, I was hospitalised, knew what I had, and it was a case of working out where to go next. I'm waiting for my appointment to speak to a neurologist about medication. That was the most frustrating part for me because I knew I was ill. I knew that I was getting iller all the time. And I was treated for my symptoms, let out of hospital, and within another month or so, I relapsed again, was hospitalised again. Mine was a gradual build-up of many lesions and then a very quick escalation, so I was going downhill quickly. And then by the time I got onto my medication, which wasn't that long, from the October, I started medication the following April. And from my very first dose of medication, I started to feel better, which is why I just encourage people as much as possible to go to your doctors, talk about your options. My neurologist was really good. He kind of laid out everything that there was and said, these are the symptoms, weigh up for your quality of life versus what may or may not happen to you, which is scary. Yeah. But on balance, in my situation, I wanted to get on medication as soon as possible. And that's been the right decision for me. Since starting my medication, I haven't had a relapse and I haven't developed any more symptoms. And my old lesions have stabilised somewhat. So I'm able to live a normal life as much as possible.
That's great to hear. Dr. Reshid, is it always the case that it is manageable with medication?
I think it can be. Clearly, there's going to be difference in different people and the condition itself is variable. But I think a couple of points that I think are really important that you've brought out is that we shouldn't be shy about, both as doctors and as people who are concerned that they've got the condition, shouldn't be shy about mentioning it and saying, well, look, you know, it's perfectly reasonable in my opinion, and that's what doctors are there for, to, if there is a reasonable concern, to investigate it.
And because also, when you deliver a diagnosis like that, people will be frightened.
Well, I think that was certainly the historic sort of attitude of, you know, we don't want to give this diagnosis to people, and maybe at the back of people's mind was, well, there wasn't much we could do about the condition, so trying to shy away from giving that diagnosis. But that has really changed now. The medications may not be suitable for everybody, but there are a number of new medications out there. So, and the earlier one then makes a diagnosis, then there may well be now options available to people. And the time lost in not putting people on medication if appropriate, I think is very sad. So, you know, I think it's very important that we're now much more proactive about this.
And so has the medication been effective for you, Anna?
In a sense, yes. I was started with medication almost straight away, within a couple of weeks from my diagnosis. The MS nurse was really, really helpful. She suggested using the MS Trust's MS Decisions website, which helps you weigh up the options of, you know, which drugs, what are the side effects, how many times a week do you have to take them. So I started with a weekly injection. And at first, the major thing was, how am I going to do this? How am I going to inject myself this medication? Mm. And it suddenly dawned on me, lots of people do this all of the time. I'm not unusual, so I just kind of got on with it, started it. I have, unfortunately, had relapses whilst on the medication, and the neurologists I'm with don't think it's as effective as some of the other medications. However, the relapses I've had are completely manageable. I mean, I might have had something like a week off work with it in the last 3 years. So, you know, I'm quite happy. I've just stopped taking the medication, incidentally, because I am planning on starting a family. So when eventually I do go back on medication, they're going to change it to something else. So again, I'll be weighing up my options and having a conversation with the specialists.
Okay, we wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you.
It's great to talk to you all. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. Now, is fashion becoming more diverse?